Just like I showed y'all. Good job. Very good. Love that song. Love singing about Jesus coming again. And by the way, He is coming again. And whether you believe it or not, He doesn't base His timing upon us. And He doesn't base His promises on us. He bases it on an eternal principle. And so we're blessed to know that Jesus is coming again. And so take your Bibles this morning and turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And good to see Brother Ivy here today. And that sun's not hitting just right yet, Brother Ivy, to bounce off your head yet, but it will. You probably can't hear me, can you? There's Miss Pat, the interpreter for him. We love the Ivies. Good to see them back. And you know, as a church member and as a part of the staff, you look out at the pews and you know who's not here. And there's always a void there. And so good to see Brother Ivy and Miss Pat back in their spot back there. And keep them in your prayers, if you would. And be in prayer for Pastor and Miss Tanya. They'll be flying back in from Israel on Wednesday. And so they've been in the Holy Land for over a week now. So pray for them as they'll be coming back Wednesday. And he may be here Wednesday night, may not, according to how the flight goes. So if we had to guess, we would go probably not. They're never early, always late, but that's all right. But pray for them as they'll be coming back in. Revelation chapter 14. We'll get right into the message this morning. I appreciate this church allowing me to preach to you this morning. And do pray that God would just bless and talk to the hearts of each and every one here today. Revelation chapter 14. We're interjecting into the tribulation time. The church has been raptured out of here. Chapter 4, the church is gone. The church has been raptured out. We're pre-trib. And I believe the Lord is going to rapture us out of here before all the trouble of this world happens. And I'm glad I know that Jesus is going to take us out of this world. We're going to be caught up with Him in the clouds, and there will be judged. And of course, we have the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm looking forward to spending eternity with my Savior. Eternity with my Savior. That's good. And so as we look here, we're on the third angel that's giving a warning to the lost world at this time. Now, if you remember, or if you don't, this will kind of be a lesson for a moment. But here in chapter 14, the 144,000 had been on the earth. They've been preaching the Word of God. The 144,000 Jew evangelists, they've been going through the world from one end of the world to the other. 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel will go out and they'll proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men will be turned to Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Those who have never heard a gospel presentation, they will hear the gospel and they will believe during this time thanks to these 144,000 witnesses. And by the way, just let me tell you this real quick, is that the 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses. There are none of them. I promise you with my hand raised is that there will not be one Jehovah Witness in the 144,000, because the Bible says that they won't be, right? By the way, that's a false doctrine that is being preached all over the world today from the JW. So don't believe that. Believe your Bible. Well, as we see also, there's been two witnesses that have come down. And they have also preached the gospel. And during this time, if you think about the tribulation period, it says that all the world will see as these two that have been sent from God. They will be killed and laid in the street for days. And they will lay there until God raises them up and raptures them out of this world. Well, the Bible says it's as these two witnesses lay in the streets of the city, is that all the world will see. You say, well, how will that happen? Because we have cell phones, laptops, we have kids staying at our house, so my wife always takes up all the cell phones and iPad. I looked at my counter last night before all the kids went to bed, and I had like 17 devices on our counter there in our kitchen. I told my wife, I said, we definitely live in a different era. Because everything nowadays, if something happens in Iraq, you can know immediately that it's going on. So there will be TV crews all around. And matter of fact, they say that they're going to have a great party. It'll be kind of a satanic Christmas. They're going to give gifts to each other because they're so happy that these two witnesses are dead. The 144,000 are killed. They're slain as martyrs during this time. But listen to me, God is so gracious and God is so merciful to a lost and dying world that He sends the two witnesses during this time, says 144,000 Jews to be evangelists, but now He's also sending in His angels to preach the Word of God. That's a loving Savior. That's a merciful and long-suffering Savior, that He wouldn't just say, you know what, I'm done with this world and just wipe them all out, but He's still preaching the gospel. By the way, if you study the Word of God, before God ever announces judgment, He always sends a preacher. You know what? He could have very well said, Nineveh, I'm done with you. But guess what? He sent a preacher. Now, did the preacher want to go? No, but he did. Can I say that Noah was a preacher? God could have said, you know, the world, their imaginations and thoughts are only evil continually. I'll just wipe them all out. But you know what? For 150 years, Noah preached righteousness. And God, in His mercy, allows all of these witnesses and these angels to come and to give the last warnings. In chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 9, we see the last warning that is given to mankind to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. But notice what they say here in verse 9. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying, followed them, meaning followed the first two angels, saying with a loud voice. I like that, by the way. The loud voice means that everybody could hear it. By the way, the message of God is for everybody. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles. It's for everybody. Notice what he says. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now notice what he says, verse 10. This is our key verse this morning. It says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11 says, and their smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, nor rest day, nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are those that kept the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus Christ. It's given us a kind of a commentary on how the last days are going to unfold. The way they're going to unfold is God is going to give man warning. God's going to give man warning. God's going to give man warning. Give them warning. And then finally one day God's going to be done, and He's going to pour out His wrath without mixture. My friends, I'll tell you one thing. You don't want to be here when that happens. So this morning I'll preach on this subject, without mixture. Father, we love You, we thank You. And Lord, as we come before You today, I realize that I am nothing, but God, You're everything. And Lord, as John said, that I must increase so You can increase. And Lord, certainly we want that today. You said if Christ be lifted up, that He draw all men unto Himself. You said if we preach Your word, that it would not come back void. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, today that You would just give me power. But Lord, that You would just use me as an instrument of righteousness in Your hands today. Lord, I know that there are some here today that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, they're abiding underneath Your wrath today. And God, they can come out from underneath it through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. God, I pray today that You would just prick the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today with Your Word and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, that today would be the acceptable time, the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for the Christian today that, Lord, through this message, Father, may we get a new glimpse of hell and the understanding of that we need to witness and that we need to pray for those that are lost. God, help us today to understand what You want us to understand. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we look in the Scripture in verse 10, it says that the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. That phrase, without mixture, means not to be diluted with water or whatever the substance was. Now, in the Old Testament, they would take grape juice. Whenever we see the word wine in the Bible, we think, oh, I can have a glass of wine. Well, you need to study it out because it's not the wine that we use today. It's not fermented wine that is so often used today. This was grape juice that they would dilute with water, or they would mix a myrrh with it sometimes or spices with it to give it a different taste. But it was not fermented in most cases. And whenever we talk about, I'm not going to get on drinking today, but I'm saying is that in this portion of Scripture, He's given us a visual of something that they would have used during this time. They would have taken the grape juice, they would have taken the grapes and smashed them, and the grape juice would have ran out. They would have filtered that, and they would have added water to it or whatever spices they would have used during this time. But here's God using this example of wine to the people during this time into the eyes of John the Baptist, or John the Baptist, of John the Revelator, as he stands on the Isle of Patmos, and God's given him a revelation of what's going to happen during the tribulation time. And at the end of the tribulation time, can I remind you that God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth and upon lost man. In other words, without mixture means God is going to use His full strength of His wrath. The full strength of God's wrath is revealed if you'll turn over to chapter 20. Chapter 20, I want to give you the full wrath of God that will be poured out. Chapter 20, verse 11, we see the unmixed wrath of God, the undiluted wrath of God revealed in chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible says, verse 11, if you'll look there with me, it says, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now look at verse 13. It says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." Now notice verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written," and now notice this, "in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." When we look at the scripture and we see that now we deal with hell, we see that there is a literal hell in this earth. In the middle of this earth, there is a fiery, burning hell that man, whenever they die and they die without Jesus Christ, they are cast into hell. But one day, that is not the full extent of God's wrath. One day, God's full extent of His wrath, He's going to pull them out of hell. He's going to pull the dead that are still, that have died on earth, and He's going to pull them all together, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. In other words, that is God's full frontal of His wrath during this time. People don't like to hear that. By the way, if you're saved, this is good news. This is what you're escaping if you're saved. But if you're lost, then you're underneath the wrath of God today. By the way, I'm so sick and tired of hearing people sugarcoat the gospel. The gospel says you trust Jesus Christ because He is the only way, or you die and go to hell. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no, "Well, maybe I'll be good enough." No, you can't be good enough. There's none good. No, not one. The Bible says that we're all born underneath the condemnation of God's wrath. And so we are all born underneath the wrath of God. And you by yourself cannot get out from underneath the wrath of God. You got to be pulled out by a supernatural being. That is Jesus Christ. We see that in the Bible it says also that that He will pour out without mixture into the cup of indignation. If you look up that word, indignation, it means extreme anger or disgust. And one of the key root words of that word, indignation, again, is the word wrath. So here's what the Bible just said, is that God's going to take His pure wrath and pour it into wrath. Wrath upon wrath. And He's going to unleash it unto a lost man. You say, "Well, what's the deal about today?" Well, let me say that God has not appointed that time yet. There is an appointed time, and only God knows it, but God is going to come back one day through Jesus Christ, and He's going to take the church out of this world. The world will then enter into a time of 7 years of tribulation. I love people whenever they say, "Well, I don't believe that." You will believe it one day. I promise you, you're not going to sit around and say, "Well, just because I don't believe something, it's not going to happen." Well, my friend, it's going to happen. You can go out here and get a ticket and say, "Well, I believe that I'll never have to pay this." That judge is going to tell you otherwise. You broke the law and you're guilty and you're going to pay. And can I say that we are guilty before God and one day we will have to pay unless you let Jesus Christ take your place. We see here in the Scripture talking about Babylon. Babylon in this time in this Scripture is talking about the world system, the law system, this evil system of the world. Matter of fact, Babylon's already setting up in America. It's set up all over the world, the world system that's trying to... Matter of fact, one of the things that is hardest to understand most people is humanism. Humanism is all over our world today. In other words, man going about to gain his own righteousness. It's all over our world today. Well, I think you do it this way. I think you do it this way. Well, it's not about what we think. It's about what the Word of God says. And about that God is coming and His wrath is coming. And so as we look at here, we see the call from the angel to repent. Call of the angel to show them that one day that Jesus is going to pour out His mixture of wrath upon them. He's going to pour out His wrath without mixture upon them. Notice over, if you will, verse 19 of chapter 14. Notice this. He talks about the grapes that are, he's going to thrust the sickle in verse 18 and gather all the cluster of the vine of the earth, and her grapes that are fully ripe. That's talking about the sinner. In verse 19, it says, and the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into a great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle. And that's talking about the battle of Armageddon. It says, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which means 200 miles, square miles, is going to the blood of lost man is going to run up to a horse's bridle. Anywhere from 5 to 6 feet of blood, 200 miles in the valley there of the Battle of Armageddon as it's going on, the battle in the Valley of Megiddo, and the blood's going to run high. You say, preacher, we shouldn't be saying that. I'm telling you is that Jesus is going to unleash His wrath one day. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is that God's wrath is going to be applied to your life, and it's going to crush you underneath the weight of it, and you're going to spend eternity in a place called the Lake of Fire, and you'll never get out of there. If you read in the Bible in Luke chapter 16, we see the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man fared sumptuously, the Bible says. But the Bible says that one day the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being what? In torments. Can I tell you one thing? If we could talk to the rich man. And of course, in those days, there was a great gulf that fixed between paradise and hell at that time that they could apparently talk between each other. But let me tell you that one day's coming, even as this rich man, as he was in heaven, he said, I know I can't get out of here, but if you will go to my brothers and tell them about this horrible place that I'm in. I'm telling you, if hell and the lake of fire to be a great motivator for the Christian to go out and to tell this lost world that they're going to die one day. And there's a place called hell, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for your sin. And that you don't have to go there. That's good news. Boy, I tell you, I would love to be one day, if I had to face a surgery and somebody said, hey, I'll just go for you. Hallelujah, you go. And as you stand in my place, that's all right. You know, if I stood guilty of a murder charge today and somebody stood and said, you know what, I'll take the charge for you. I'll go and I'll take the penalty for you. I tell you, I'd say, go right ahead. But I'm telling you, there is one greater than all of that. His name is Jesus Christ. One day in the court of God, He stood and He said, I will take their place. When He died on the cross of Calvary, He did take your place. He became your substitutionary death. He was there for you and for your sins. And when He died, He took your sins upon Himself. And when God looks at Him today, and when God looks at me and I'm in Christ, He doesn't see my sins. And the wrath of God's been lifted from my life. Let me give you three things this morning. Number one, God has placed a penalty upon our sins. Romans 6:33 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, if you're underneath the payment of sin, you're going to die. You will die that second death. That death that will cast you into a burning lake of fire. Let me remind you this morning that God is a just God. And when God judges, He judges according to His Word. And His Word says that those that are without Christ will die and go into hell. And will die and go into a lake of fire. God is a just God. He doesn't change His judgment according to the situation the world is in. See, our judges today, they judge by the book and by their feelings. That's the way we judge today. That's why one man can get 20 years for a murder and another guy can get probation. There's no set standard of judgment today. Because why? Because it's man handing down these judgments. But can I say that our Father in heaven is the just judge. He is the righteous judge. And if you die without Christ, you die and you go to hell. That's it. There's no purgatory. There's no paying your way out of it. There's just accepting Jesus Christ. God hates sin and one day will destroy it all. By the way, God loves the sinner. We know that. If He didn't love the sinner, none of us could be saved, right? Number two, Jesus took our place. I want you to look over Matthew chapter 26, a marvelous verse in our Bible. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I want you to notice, if you will, verse 36. Verse 36. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Jesus, of course, facing betrayal by Judas Iscariot. Now we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And as he prays, the Bible says that he prayed as if it was sweat drops of blood. The agony of Jesus praying was so intense that blood came from his pores. But notice, if you will, in verse 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them," talking about the disciples, "a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." This was something that Christ was going to do on his own. This was something that Jesus was going to have to face on his own. He asked his disciples, he said, "Sit here. I want you to pray for me because I've got to go commune with my Father and discuss some things with him because I know the hour is coming." Could you imagine? By the way, Jesus hurt just like we hurt. He wasn't exempt from being hurt from the elements and from the pain that the cross was going to put upon him. But notice verse 37. It says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." So he left the other disciples there. He brought, if you notice what he says there, that he brought Peter and two sons of John and James with him. And he said, "I want y'all to go a little further with me because they're closer to him." He said, "I want y'all to be here and I want you to pray." Now notice what happens in verse 39. He says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou will." He asked even again in verse 42, he said, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." What was he talking about? He was talking about the cup of the wrath of God that was going to be placed upon Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was going to drink for all mankind. The reason you're here this morning and you're saved is because Jesus Christ, in His goodness and because of His divinity, He took of that cup of the wrath of God and He drank it so you could be free. God, help us to be thankful. Help us to be a thankful people that Jesus Christ died for us. He took your place. He died for you. We see that there is going to come a day when God's wrath is going to be poured out in the cup of indignation. But let me remind you that Jesus, in His goodness, He took that wrath for you. He drank of that cup. Let me give you the last thing this morning. You will pay the price for your sins. God has placed a price upon your sins, and you will pay for them one day. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, you know why Jesus had to go to the cross? To pay for your sins. By the way, it's not a work, so lest any man should boast. We understand that. It's according to His mercy He has saved us. When Jesus was on the cross, He was there for you. He was there for me. He was there so if you're here this morning and you're lost and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He died for you. He paid the price for you. Why? So you wouldn't have to pay for it. So you wouldn't have to stand before God and give an account of your own self, talking about your works and talking about your soul. Is that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Christ drank of this cup of God's wrath for you. Don't neglect your soul. What is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, people aren't concerned about their soul today. They're too concerned about what TV show's coming on, what new game's coming out, what new movie's out, if we're going to have a job or not, is the car going to run, am I going to find a wife? Maybe. You know, is this going to happen? Is this gonna? And they never give thought of their soul. Eternity. By the way, you can be without a job, without a wife, without good health and still go to heaven. And that's more important than any other thing that could happen in your life, is you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for you so you wouldn't have to pay for it. I don't know about y'all, but our world's beginning to be a world of highways that you got to pay for. If you're going to drive through here to Dallas, you're going to pay for a toll somewhere along the way. Even if you get off and try to miss it, you're going to still hit a toll road. You have to pay for everything you do, right? I mean, you think about it. You get in your car, go somewhere, you're going to pay for it. You go to your house, you're going to pay. We're paying for everything, right? But you think about eternity, you can't afford it. You can't afford eternity. Why? Because there's been a greater price placed on the wages of sin is death. You can't take the place of your sin. You got to trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He paid the price for you. As Christians this morning, that the wrath of God has escaped you because of Jesus Christ. You ought to just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you this morning. Well, I tell you what, the devil's fighting hard today. I can sense it in here. The devil's just fighting. You know, I like it when the devil's fighting against me. You know why? Because that means the Lord's working too. And I know he's fighting some of you with sleep and slumber and all these things. And if you ever want to get to a point where you preach on hell and preach about people trusting Jesus Christ, boy, cell phones will go off. People think about what they're having for lunch. They'll think about all this. But I'm saying this is serious business. I know this is not a flowery message. I probably will never have a request to preach it again. But I'm telling you, this is what God put on my heart this morning because I'm concerned about the souls of men. I'm telling you that death is coming. We are closer now to the wrath of God than we ever have been coming on this earth. We're closer to the tribulation period than we ever have. It could happen before we leave this auditorium that Jesus Christ comes back and calls His church out of here. And then you, which are left here, listen to me, you're not going to have a chance. Once the trumpet sounds, you're done. There's no chance for you. I'm not trying to scare anybody into heaven today. But you know what? God used a lot of scare tactics too. That's why He used hell. As you know, it's not just a little place separated from God. There's some of our famous evangelists over the past years have said, well, hell's not really a place of torment. It's just separation from God. If it's just separation from God, there's no fear in the hearts of lost man. If it's just separation, that's all right. We can have a party there. But if you're in a place that you're going to burn for eternity and there's never going to be a time when you get rest, there's never going to be a time when your body quits hurting, there's never going to be a time when you don't stop falling. The Bible says it's a bottomless pit. There's always a feeling of the falling. There's always a feeling of the burning and all these things. And let me tell you, I'm glad that I'm going to heaven where there's peace and joy and everlasting life. I'm glad I'm going to a place where my Savior is going to be the light up there. I'm glad I'm going to heaven because why? Jesus paid it all. Abraham pleaded with God. He said, God, as he looked out over Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, God, I plead with you. Would you, if I find 50 righteous, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham couldn't find 50. He got all the way down and God said, there's none righteous. Matter of fact, you know what the job of Abraham was? Is to get Lot and his family out of Sodom. God had already pronounced His judgment, His wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah, that He was going to rain down hailstorm from heaven and brimstone from heaven, and that it was going to happen. And the only way that Lot and his family could escape the wrath of God was to get out of there. Well, guess what? It still applies today. God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming, whether you want it to or not. You say, well, how do we escape it? You get out of there. And you run to Jesus. He's the only way to get out of there. Do I have lost family members? Sure I do. I have a father that's lost. I have uncles and cousins who are lost. You know, my desire for them is to get saved. But you know what? I'm here with you today. You know what my desire is for today? Is that if you're here underneath the sound of my voice, I want you to get saved. Amen. Sinners need to come and flee the wrath of God and run to Jesus Christ and trust in Him. You say, well, why is in the last days God's wrath going to be poured out without mixture? Well, let me give you this and I'm done. Today, God's wrath is mixed with a word we call mercy. God in His mercy. The word mercy means God not giving to us what we deserve. God's wrath today is being held back because of His mercy and because of His grace and His goodness and His love toward us. God has all right to just come and just take us all out, but because of His wrath is mixed with mercy, because His wrath is mixed with grace, and because His wrath is mixed with love today, is that He loves us and He's holding back His wrath as long as He can. He's long-suffering to usward. But one day He's going to remove. You know, if you think of a hand grenade's not bad until you pull the pin and let go of it. As long as it's got that pin in there, you're okay pretty much, maybe, unless I have it, then anything could go wrong. But once you pull that pin out, it activates that hand grenade in its full purpose. Well, right now, God's wrath has a pin of mercy in it. You better thank Him for that. Has the pen of mercy, but one day, whenever the rapture happens, God's going to pull that pen of mercy out, and He's going to release His wrath in that cup of indignation, His cup of anger. He's going to pour it out upon the earth. You think God's going to do that and go, yay? No. God's going to do it with sorrow. Why? Because for thousands and thousands of years, He's pleaded, He's begged with people to trust His Son, Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, He showed them a great picture of the coming Messiah and what He was going to do for mankind. In the New Testament, we look back and we see what Jesus did for us. He was our Messiah. He was our Savior. He is our Savior. He's our High Priest. And now today, we live in the realms of grace. I don't live underneath the umbrella of wrath anymore. I live underneath the umbrella of grace. Whew. When God looks down and He looks at Michael Wiggins, He just sees God, Christ and His grace, His blood applied to my life. There's none of us here this morning that deserve God's grace and mercy. But He willingly gives it to us. God loves us so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, people want to preach about the love of God. But we've said this time and time again, the only thing that equals the love of God is the wrath of God. They're equal. The only thing that separates them is mercy. God in His mercy is holding back His wrath today. But can I remind you, friend, one day He's going to unleash it. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me remind you, you're abiding underneath the wrath of God. But you can get out. It would be bad if we said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and good luck to you. That'd be bad. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Shoot, that's good news. Christ died for you. Say, preacher, how do I get saved? Well, I'm glad you asked. We use the Bible around here to show man how to be saved. You know why we take the Bible and show people how to get saved? Because they know us from God. We show them the road map that God has left. It's not my opinion. It's not Brother Latta's opinion, not Brother Clark's opinion. It's God's word and His promise that He said, for whosoever, I love that word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good promise. That He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's whosoever, who is that? That's anybody. Anybody can get saved. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't even care if you came from Alabama. That's where I came from. Born in Alabama. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your family were Christians or whether they were lost people. You can be saved this morning. You say, well, preacher, how did I do that? Herb, tell me. Well, here it is. Here in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, a song. And all you have to do is step out of your pew. You say, boy, I'll be embarrassed. You know what? I'm pretty sure if you come down here and get saved, there's no embarrassment to that. Amen. I'm pretty sure there's going to be hundreds of people that are members of this church that are going to rejoice with you. But greater than that, the Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Whew. That's pretty good. I'd hate for you to stay in your pew because you're ashamed or embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Because you know why? All of us were there at one time. Everybody in this auditorium at one time in their life was lost and on their way to hell. There's no embarrassment there. It just takes courage and faith. And faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And you come and you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. Somebody will take the Bible and show you this morning how to be saved. Christian, you say, well, that message wasn't for me. Oh, yeah, it was. You know why? Because some of us have forgotten where we used to be. And we forget sometimes just to come to our Lord and say, Lord, thank You that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And get our eyes refocused on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame. Hey, one day we're going to be with Christ forever. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a wonderful promise that He's given us. Maybe you need to come and just say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Maybe you need to come this morning and just get saved. If you're here this morning, you're lost. You say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm abiding underneath that wrath, and I know one day He's going to pour His wrath without mixture. You come down here and get my attention, or grab one of these workers that will be down here in a moment, attention, and we'll show you through the Word of God, and we'll rejoice with you. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians come, Brother Tim comes. Let's pray, and then we'll sing a verse of invitation. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Heavenly Father, I ask that this morning you would bless. Lord, I know Satan's tried to hinder this morning and trying to grab our attention away. And Lord, we know that he's the great blinder of the minds of them which believe not. But Lord, you said, unless the light of your glorious gospel would shine unto them. Lord, I just pray that your words penetrated the dark hearts here today, the lost hearts. God, we'd give you glory if you'd save somebody today. Lord, we'd praise you if you'd just give those people courage and faith to step out of their pew. I come to this old-fashioned altar as all of us once did, whether it was at a church or whether it was at our home or whether we were at work, wherever it may have been. But Lord, we rejoice with them. Father, please, through the Holy Spirit, draw people to the cross today. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 167, just as I am, as we sing. You come, if you're lost this morning, come.